Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 36, verses 5 through 10. In his message titled, You Only Live Once, Reverend Derek Longbrake tells us that a full life comes when you seek out Jesus. Remember, there is no limits to God's love, and it is available to all. So get out of the isolation that we prefer and receive God's love and live a full life. Let us now join Reverend Longbrake as he explains God's word.
I haven't read the prayer of confession, so I don't have a little story to tell ahead of time like David does to kind of pull it all together, so we'll just have to use our imaginations. I'm sorry. The prayer of confession. Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light and walk in your ways for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our assurance of pardon. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
So I invite you to go ahead and take out the Pew Bible and open it. I'm not going to be referring directly by verse during the sermon to this scripture, but I think it'll be helpful to have it in front of you, especially since I'm reading only a section of the sermon and or of the psalm. And the psalm is Psalm 36, and you can find it on page 510 of the Old Testament. Let's listen for God's word. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever heard someone say YOLO? Y-O-L-O stands for You Only Live Once. And it's used by many people, excuse maybe younger, but as a guide for their actions or to explain why they chose to do what they did. And sure, this philosophy of you only live once can be misused to excuse harmful actions. And it can be a frivolous way to justify doing whatever we want. But underlying that is the desire to really live, to experience the fullness of life. So YOLO, or saying that, results from the feeling that many have that much of existence is absent of life. A big part of living seems to be just going through the motions. Doing the same tasks, doing the same work, waiting for something more important to happen. Oftentimes, we're just getting through daily life. So what does it mean to have life? What does it mean to have life beyond just breathing or having your heart beating. Let me suggest some things that bring a richness to what life is. So maybe it means to have life means having a spirit of engagement. Maybe having life means you're willing to welcome newness, that you're even looking and searching for that. Maybe having life means a willingness to embrace change, to take on the new things that are happening and find meaning there. Maybe having life means that you have a sense of who you are, no matter what circumstances you're facing. Maybe having life means you're confidently able to take risks, no matter how you feel. Maybe having life means that you do things for others. Maybe having life means having this intangible vibrancy. Maybe having life means having connections with others. Maybe having life is being able to see meaning in all that you do. So what is it that brings us life in all of these facets in the midst of just getting through everyday tasks, in the midst of seeing so much that is ordinary? I believe it's God's steadfast love. Our embrace of God's love is what shapes our attitude. It's what helps us to discover the freedom to live life fully. So the question that I ask to get people's sense of how a church embraces or shares God's love is this: where is their life in this church? I want you to ask that to yourself and think for a moment. Where is their life in this church? Well, underlying that are questions of, first, is there an awareness that God is at work? And if so, is there a willingness to risk participating in that work along with others? Because life comes when there is an authentic seeking to follow Jesus. And John chapter 1 gives us the shape of this. What came into being in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all people. Fullness of life comes from the love of God, which is offered to us in Jesus Christ. Now, we see plenty of people we would say are living a full life, but there's a shadow side to a fullness of life. You see, someone can be vibrant. They can be engaged. They can be risking. They can be connected to others, but all in ways that are actually focused on oneself. Psalm 36 calls this wickedness, and it leads as much to emptiness as does living without seeing life. And that living without seeing life, that's what's called darkness in John. So darkness and the wicked, they provide the counterpoint to God's steadfast love and those who live in the light. So this absence of living and those who are living just for themselves are right against God's love bringing meaning to life and those living embracing God's love. Because having life has at its center embracing God's love. The Hebrew word for love used in Psalm 36 and much of the New Testament is hesed. And that word is so rich in meaning. And it's more than love. It needs adjectives. It's love that's freely given. It's love that lasts. It's love that shows mercy. It's unfailing love. It's love that does not give up. Actually, I found in the Jesus Storybook Bible what the best way to translate this one word of Hebrew. And Sally Lloyd-Jones is the one who calls it a never-stopping, never-giving-up, unbreaking, always and forever love. She can't just use one word or two words to describe that one word in Hebrew. It takes a whole phrase. Well, we see Psalm 36 emphasizing this, describing the reach of God's love. If you are looking at, it talks about how the love, God's love goes to the heavens. There's no limits to it. There's no limits to God's faithfulness in showing his love. And this constant love is available for us in every situation. I think that's oftentimes where we see people who are alive but yet are dead, is when they don't see how God's love is available to them in certain situations, maybe of grief, maybe in loss, maybe in sickness. But there's still more, even than the length or the height and breadth to the love of God that gives us life. The psalm tells of God's righteousness and judgments, what he does to make his love and faithfulness known. And these actions, too, are all-encompassing, from the heights to the depths. So there's actually a poem here within the psalm, and it works to communicate the fullness of God's love and how it's built into the universe. The love of God can be seen in the giving of life to every living thing. We heard the kids saying that. They can see God's love in us having life, in having physical life. Our life is a sign of God's love for us. And this love of God is precious and priceless. But in his love, he not only gives life, he sustains life. He provides protection and provision. God provides things to us in the midst of life to make our life more full. Well, the shelter, the food, the drink that God provides in his love, it can't be just limited to the physical realm. We hear these phrases in the psalm, the refuge in the shadow of his wings, the feast of abundance, and the river of delights. All of that describes that which defends us when we would lose hope, lose life. And it also describes what nourishes us spiritually. The peace and support that God gives in his love allows us to live and experience the fullness of life. Wrapped in his love, we engage in everything we do. Wrapped in his love, we are vital in every circumstance. Wrapped in his love, we interact with others, finding meaning. Now, we can't obtain this life apart from him. Yet, boy, do we see people trying. We try to create our own places of safety. We build walls. We don't interact with those who are different. We spend time alone on our phones. We even go out less often out of our homes. All of these are our efforts to gain security, but they actually inhibit life. What we're doing to try to gain life actually takes it away from us. The safety, though, that God provides frees us to live fully. In the same way, we try to drink from the river of delights, thinking only of what will delight us. We desire to be constantly entertained, yet end up bored flipping through 100+ channels. We see our society's search for this kind of happiness in life with multiple partners rather than with one person in a committed relationship. I feel like this search for delight that we see so often or that we participate in, it's like coming out of a desert and finding a river and picking up a cup that has holes in the bottom and scooping up that river water. And by the time we bring it to our mouths, there's only a few drops, if any, left in the cup. And we try again and again, unaware that there are holes, frustrated because we don't get what we want, or all that we are getting doesn't bring us life after all. We don't need to take what we want. We need to receive what God gives us. And if we sit down at his table, he will serve us, giving us that which brings life. That's why we celebrate communion, and we'll be celebrating that, and I'll be here to celebrate that next week. But the fullness of God's life, his steadfast love and faithfulness that we first experience in baptism, we reaffirm each time we share communion. So we live into his love in communion as we take refuge in him, as we find safety in him, as we feast on the abundance of his house, as we drink from the river of his delights. So we don't need to limit our understanding of having life to our own efforts to be happy, to our own efforts to get our needs met, to our own efforts to be safe. In communion, we enact our reliance on God, and we receive from him all of that which we need for life. We get physically sustaining food in a symbolic amount, and we receive spiritual food in great abundance. So in communion, we're reminded and we experience how life is found in God's steadfast love revealed in Christ. In communion, we remember that we belong to God and we experience our safety, our refuge, and our abundance amid all that would take life from us. We come to the table in communion in the midst of life where it seems like the wicked or darkness is overcoming. And as we embrace his love, we have the fullness of life that we seek. Because God is the source, the fountain of life. Life becomes even fuller as we're connected with God and with others and are formed into a community of faith with a life and a purpose that's beyond ourselves, that's beyond our own purpose. Paraphrasing Revelation, all those reflecting God's glory are in the Lamb's Book of Life. So our search for happiness, satisfaction, and safety pales in comparison to the abundance that's received and experienced because of God's steadfast love, because of our participation in his body as part of the community of faith. The fullness of life that God's love brings to us is not overcome by evil. It's not overcome by wickedness. It's not overcome by all of that that affects the happiness, the satisfaction and safety that's ultimately found in God's love. So as we head into a new year, 2020, let us stake our lives on God and on his love. As we look for the hopes and what will bring us life in the year to come, let us put our trust in God rather than in ourselves because true reliance on God's love brings us fullness of life. It makes life worth living. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you know each one of us. You know each of the places where we feel alive, where we feel full of love and meaning. But you also know the places in each of us where we have questions, where there's emptiness, where there's darkness, where our answers that we're finding don't seem to be enough. And so we ask you, Lord, to bring us life, to show us again how to embrace your love. Give us courage where there needs to be courage to risk. Give us the space to step out, or give us the space to step into the quiet to be with you so we're not distracted by others. Lord, you know us. You know what of those things we need, whether it is that deeper connection with you or others, or how that works for each of us. God, I pray that you would work in each of our lives, showing us your love in ways that we can receive it, opening our eyes to see the love that's around us being offered to us. Be with us and guide us in this year to come. May this congregation, may each person here be full of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Now may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Hallelujah. Amen.